Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show of Bates Motel, Episode 2, Season 5, Convergence of the Twain. I got no smart remark for that. I got nothing. Let's go. Sorry.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Shake it off. You're good. You're good. You got this.
I thought of Quippy.
Like two Twains passing in the night. I don't know what I thought.
Where's Flippo when you need him?
Yeah, just, exactly. I'm in his spot, too. Welcome to AfterBuzz After Show, Bates Motel. We are here. I'm in Flippo's seat because Flippo's not here. Julia's in my seat.
I don't like it. I feel weird.
That's a good seat.
Yeah. We like to switch it up.
That's a good seat.
It doesn't fit me.
All right. thanks for joining us on iTunes and on YouTube. Hello, I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Dua Casey. Hi, Dua.
Hi. Welcome, everybody.
How are you? And I'm also joined by the lovely, equally as lovely, Julia Carolee.
Hi, guys.
And we're not joined by the not-so-lovely Joe Sanfilippo.
It's not looking so lovely today.
Yeah, you know, he got hung up in a job or something. I don't know.
Work.
Big whoop. But we're here. We're all here together. I won't say hi to my daughters on the couch. Hi, Madison. Bates Motel, episode 2. The show doesn't suck.
In the least, man.
Doesn't suck. It's not getting any worse, it appears.
Nope.
Dare I say better each time. It's so amazing how not sick I am of this trying to wrap my head around Norman's sort of psychosis, and when he's Norma, when he's not, what he's seeing, what he's not seeing, and then when's Chick gonna find out? I mean, when does Chick know everything? And now we know he does. When's Dilemma gonna find out? What about Dunkel? What's he gonna find out? Like, what's going on? Romero's and the Bing and the Can getting strong. Like, it's so much happening. I'm so excited about this. So I want to start. Let's get some initial responses from reactions. What are your initial reactions from what we saw in this episode, Dua?
So, I mean, I love this. Is a real meat and potatoes episode, right? Mm-hmm. The Bates family gives us a lot to talk about between Norman, you know, visiting prisoners and stalking hardware store owners to our resident Dunkel breaking into houses and causing a ruckus. We've got Caleb. We learned that Norma this week, you know, can pop up at different places. She doesn't just live at the house.
No.
And, you know, which was, you know, and she also goes bar hopping as well.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Can I just say that we open on the episode with Norman driving in a car? I thought he didn't have a license. What happened there?
Well, there was a time jump, so maybe... maybe he either got a license in that time, or maybe he doesn't have a license. He's just driving anyway.
He's just being reckless.
Who knows? But I do like the fact that we open with him visiting Romero, which was probably in the previews from last week, which we didn't see. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned it, but as that was one of my predictions that he'll go face to face, a la Lecter and Clarice.
Yep, they did it immediately. They didn't always in time.
And it was a great scene. And I just, you know, props to my man. Well, I'll get to it later. But Freddie Highmore's performance again, his uneasiness, the way he kind of like shimmies around all the time, and he's kind of just doing this weird thing, and like it's kind of it's a weird, like, he's unsure in his own body. Like, he wants to be confident, and then he's not confident. And he's
but
just,
then the juxtaposition as to when he's Norma and he's extremely confident in that
just
body.
Like, slacked
he's
out.
Slinky and feeling beautiful and feeling all Norma-y.
He's like, hit me.
Mm-hmm. Julia, I think last season you said that he was the master of the teary eyeball, which is to me.
I may have said that.
Sounds like the next Indiana Jones movie. Is that Indiana Jones, the Master of the Teary Eyeball? I don't know what that is. That's as much as made about Vera, but Freddie, man.
Yeah.
Freddie's always doing it. Okay, so he visits Romero in prison. Is that how it works? I mean, I haven't been to prison recently.
What's his stepson?
Like, is that how but how it works? He's just, you know, you're doing your thing, you're in your work, and someone's like, you got a visitor.
No.
Like,
that's, you know, you're able to throw a few things away because it's a television show, and you know, but no, you have to be on a list, and you know all the visitors that are coming. It's not, you're not just like angrily washing dishes. By the way, he's still sexy in a hairnet.
Yes, he is.
And Romero's full of angst this season. Yeah. I miss the romantic Romero, I gotta tell you.
There's also the fact that he is a cop. Whether he's a crooked cop or not, he might get different privileges than others.
Maybe.
Oh, all right.
And we also learn, which we'll get to in a second, we also learn why he's in this trumped up perjury charge. Mm-hmm. He got 5 years for perjury. So that's all they can really get him on. I mean, they didn't get him on anything else, but they did get him on the perjury, which mm-hmm. sounds like they may be able to get him out early. We'll see if that's the case. But he's doing the dishes, and he slams a thing, and it's Norman. And, Norman's...
Ooh, that reaction was good.
Yeah, it was good. And Norman's kind of like, I'm still here. Yeah. You know, but I do like the end where, like, he lifts up and he kind of pulls him close and says, you better watch your back. What does he say?
He says, don't get too cozy in that house all by yourself. And remember that Romero seems to be the only one who knows that Norma's dead. So that feels like it's kind of jarring to Norman to have someone remind him that he's not living in this fantasy world, that he is there all alone.
Well, I was kind of waiting for him to be I was kind of waiting for him to look at him and be like, I'm not all by myself. Or, like, just have some type of, like, one-liner right back at him. You know, it shows the different levels that he does understand. He doesn't argue with the fact that, you know, she's dead. He knows that she's dead.
But is it okay to say that I'm a bit confused about this part of the whole Norma thing? Because he knows she's dead. Like, he's like, my mother's dead. Like, he can say it to mm-hmm. Loomis. He can say, mother's dead. She's mm-hmm. dead. When he talks to her, she's like, you're pretending you're dead. People can't see you're alive. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks you're dead. Mm-hmm. And then yet he actively gets both. Like, it's not like he's going to go to Romero like, no, my mom's alive, because mm-hmm. he actively thinks she's dead. It's almost like it's our little secret. Mom, it's our little secret that you're alive.
It's the plan.
We're not supposed to tell anyone. We know you're alive. The whole world thinks you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I totally see what you're saying, because it is a little sort of confusing. Not confusing, just interesting more than anything, as to what his state of mind is at any given point. Because he refers to her as dead. He refers to her as, you know, living with him. But he also has a book on mummification. So he knows what he's doing. And Norma, the same thing. She refers to herself as pretending to be dead. It's not as fun as it was. Or then she gets caught smoking. She says, I'm already dead. Was it going to kill me?
Yeah.
Like, so... No one, Norman, are still sort of confused.
Fighting this out. Yeah. Because it's also like, you know, Norma says, like, I care for a mentally ill person. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a self-awareness there that, like, he knows that he's mentally ill mm-hmm. and he's doing this. Yep. And there's also, I think there's a separation between normal Norman, who's already passed through the threshold. Like, when he's projecting, when he sees Norma, I don't think he's blacking out. His conversations with Norma, that's not a blackout.
It's not.
That's just him, like, alive, like, Mom, what are you doing? Mother, da, da, that's, like, him alive.
I think it's just him going through the motions of a day.
The blackouts, when he, like, puts on the wig, because he can't be two places at once.
Yes, when he
can't have
her.
A conversation, you know, himself. But, mm-hmm. which begs the question, when he's in the car, and he's like, I'm going for a drink, what happens? Does he go in the trunk and put on the wig and put... Oh, he's himself.
He's himself. But there are three different levels. I think that we talked about it a little bit last week, or touched base on it. But I think that there are three different levels. And part of what you said last week, Julia, is that it's his level of that word that starts with a D when you lose it more and more.
Dementia?
No, it's... Delusion? My gosh. Two words. Deterioration.
Oh, never would have come up with that.
It's a level of deterioration. So he has three levels. He has but losing his mother was such a hard thing for him that he immediately goes into the denial of it, right? And even when he saw his mom dead on the slab back in the finale of season 4, he looked at her and he said, I thought you were going to tell me the plan, Mom. What was the plan? So he just can't process the reality of it. So he goes into the level of seeing her as a delusion. Then he can go into the direct blackout. So there are three different levels of this psychosis.
Right.
And it's intentionally supposed to be muddled because mental illness is a muddly thing. That's what Carrie Aaron said in an interview. We'll talk about that a bit later.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's my fault. I agree. let's get into the episode a little bit. So we had the first confrontation with that's my sister. Hi, sis. We have the first confrontation.
It's a family affair.
So we had our first conversation with Norman and Romero, which started the episode. And then we jump off over into Dilemma Land. And, you know, Emma is having that conversation with Dylan. And, I mean, you know, can you tell us about that conversation?
You know, it was just a little, I just felt like it was kind of a throwaway scene because it was their only scene together the whole show, right? And so I didn't really, you know, I kept thinking the whole time, somewhere throughout the season, are her lungs going to turn on her? And, like, when is that going to happen? You know,
what a dark thing.
I know.
To think.
Well, I don't know because she's. I don't know.
Come on, aren't you rooting
for her?
But
they're living life in the sun.
I know. They're gonna go back. They're gonna go back, like the Sodom and Gomorrah and the Pillars of Salt that Joe talked about last week. They're gonna look back, and it's gonna be. It's gonna be terrible. I didn't get too much into Dylan and Emma because I just felt like Dunkel and Chick had such like thick storylines this week.
I just think they just were sort of setting them up for whatever's gonna happen to them in future episodes.
Right.
Sort of reminding us of what the transgressions that have gone down with Emma's mom and just make sure that we remember that that's still out there.
And that all that is yet to be resolved.
Exactly.
I mean, what's gonna happen when they start putting together that Norman's killed everybody?
Everybody.
Whatever happened to, oh, Norman killed them too.
Well, yeah. Is she dead? Is she dead, dead?
Who?
Norma's, Emma's mother.
I had this fight last season, and I was saying she's alive, and everyone yelled at me.
Well, because she...
Braswell, rah.
Her earring was found. I think that she's dead. It's safe to say she's dead.
Feels like she's dead.
I think she's dead.
All right.
Right.
It's going to pop up in a motel somewhere in Seattle. Yes.
But she feels pretty dead, dead.
I think she's dead. I was with you last season. I'm like, I don't know. We never saw the body.
Yep. You don't know.
Anyways, but anyway, so I think she's dead.
I think we're going to find that body. Mummified.
Someone.
He's not
mummifying everybody.
Oh, you don't know. We had to practice.
Oh, he's practicing on the animals.
Can't find her stuff.
Okay, so then we see old sweetheart of a guy. Kenneth Johnson, old sweetheart.
Oh, Dunkel.
Dunkel, Caleb.
Oh, Caleb.
He's the sweetest survivor.
He's a little late to the party.
Even when rapist. He gets all like beady uppy, I'm still like, oh, you're so sweet.
I mean,
beady uppy is a new word, guys.
Beady
uppy. Use it. Spread around town.
I just want to take the temperature. He's a rapist, right? Or no?
No, they had a relationship.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a little rapey.
I mean, they made their peace with it. They were under duress. They only had each other. I mean, I'm not condoning this in any way, shape, or form. But they made their peace with it, so we have to make our peace with it.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's out. This is part of the incredible magic trick that Carrie, Aaron, and Carlton do with the show is make a sort of a rapey, incesty. Creepy
relationship
uncle,
look endearing,
like super, you know, yeah, not only super endearing but super sympathetic. Mm-hmm. Make you know the murderous psychopath, you know, schizophrenic guy like a Norman sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like they do a really good job of these things. But so Caleb, he then goes to tell Norma about everything, checks the house, does what he does, goes checking another motel room, and
so he's on the hunt to tell Norma that she has a granddaughter.
Yeah.
This is why he's there.
Sure,
doesn't know that Norma's dead, a little late to the party.
Right.
Like, he's just kind of...
We also got a little glimpse into how long it's been, because he said it's been about a year and a half.
18 months.
He talked to his sister.
Can we talk about how he goes in the house? Again, we talk about Norman's, what's actually happening in the house.
His psychosis. Oh,
but the thing that really caught my eye was poor Juno's bowl. Juno's bowl like overflowing
with
dog food.
That dog's not eating that food.
Tell you what, Norman. Juno's not eating that food.
Might want to take him to the vet.
And those little details, the scan of that room, and you're like, Juno's bowl is overflowing with dog food.
Yeah.
Hey, boy. Hey, Juno.
Two plates of pie. And I love that it was so dark.
Yeah.
And Carrie Aaron also talks about how the house and the messiness of the house is mirrored of what exactly is going on in Norman's brain right now. So that's a great representation. But I like that he just lets himself in. Like, what?
I mean,
His family.
Norma.
His family. You know.
Norma.
Plus, he kind of knows, he kind of thinks something's wrong with the kid. He knows that Norman's alive.
Yeah, he knows something's wrong with the kid.
Right.
He got attacked by him.
That's right.
Do you think it's ironic that he leaves and then goes to another motel?
Yeah. A competing motel.
And I feel like it was the same motel that he was at the first time that he was in town.
Oh, when Norman transformed him. Yeah. And transformed in front of him. Nice catch, yeah. Julia. Nice. Oh,
look at that.
Thanks, ding, guys. Ding, ding.
So she finds out he's dead. He goes off to drown his sorrows and have a drink. But before we see that, we have a conversation with Chick.
Well, I just have to say he goes to the graveyard, and I had to write down what was on that gravestone because it creeped me the F out.
Oh, it's a note from Norman.
Yes.
Please read it.
It says, loveliest mother, sweetest friend, most beautiful woman, dearest heart, purest soul, happiest playmate.
We get it, Norman.
Wife.
No.
Oh.
The world has lost an angel. You will always live in my heart. I will never, never forget you, dear mother. There's a cord between our hearts forever and ever until the sky falls down. Always love, Norman. And then his plot waiting to go next to hers.
Not creepy to me.
Wife.
A wife.
Guys!
No, but she was a mother and a wife.
He would never admit that she was a wife, especially to Romero.
Oh, no.
Who's wife? Nice cat. Oh, that's... God. Gross.
It's a lot in there, though. Loving, what's it? Dearest darling.
All of the above. Sweetie loveliest pie. Mother, sweetest friend, most beautiful woman, dearest heart, purest soul, blah, happiest Norman. Playmate and wife. That's the one that is sort of like...
Happiest playmate? All right. So she goes to the grave. Like, who's reading that? It's like, the kid's fine.
I love her.
What the... F is Dr. Edwards.
Yes, I was asking.
Could Dr. Edwards, he had to be at the funeral.
Right?
He had to read the damn tombstone.
You know, it's really, especially knowing that Norman lives as Norma half the time, you think he would check in?
Somebody call Dr. Edwards, for Christ's sake. What's going on here? All right.
You know what's so crazy is that they actually talked about the fact that Norman's perception... The perception of Norman from the town is that he's just this really sweet, well-mannered boy that lost his mother.
Yeah.
The crazy one is perceived as being Norma,
right.
Who is like always a little bit crazy, always made a scene, and then killed herself.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's kind of like protected. If you watch, you know, the way that the hardware worker and the way that David, like the way that they act towards him is this very sympathetic, very gentle, you know, caring way. So nobody knows this.
So Norman goes and he has... back to the house, has a little chit-chat with his mom, who shows up. This is not chronological order, by the way, clearly, but, like, who shows up at the door is old Chicky Baby.
Oh, Chick.
God, love Chick.
I love him more than I ever did before.
Yeah, my favorite guy.
He never gets old.
He's amazing.
And not to be Seinfeldian, but what is the deal with Chick? What is the deal?
Do you guys remember the last scene, the last time we saw Chick? Does anybody remember?
No.
Pop quiz?
Yeah, he was sort of consoling Norman, right?
He was at the door.
And saying, I understand you. Something along those lines.
Yeah, but it felt like, but he said something effective like, he alluded to, I know that your mother's, you killed your mom and she's
right
something.
Right after Norman went and dug up her body. Yeah. And he was trying to get her eyes open on the couch. And the door rings and it's Chick, of course, always popping in, that lovely neighbor. And he sees Norma's dead body.
That's right.
And he looks at him and he goes, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But you know that she's dead, right?
That's right.
And that's the last time. So I think that he pops in periodically because he knows what's going on.
Right.
And he wants to make sure that he doesn't totally fly off the handle. Chick has this beautiful heart.
But he's also writing a book about it.
Yeah.
So yes, he wants to pop in. He wants to see what's going on. He wants, I think, this whole, here, stuff this animal for me. Let's be partners. This is to get, like, deeper, deeper, and deeper into Norman's psychosis. So he becomes a millionaire off this book.
Well, like, he's broke. He needs a book deal.
And well, not only that. I mean, you know, Chick, who's no stranger to the black market economy, is also cutting a side deal on Norman's taxidermy business.
Yep. Well, what in Rome?
He's like, you know, you're pretty good at stuffing dead people. I know a guy.
Daffy Duck with the money signs.
Yes. 50% for me. Boom, that'll keep us going until I sell this book on your craziness.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah. By the way, how's that freezer?
So is Chick enabling? So this begs the question, what are Chick's motives? Is Chick enabling Norman so he can make money off of him?
It feels
or is it
like
just
it.
He's just a creepy sort of like, I'm checking this thing out? Like,
no, I think he's enabling him. I think he's fascinated. I think he wants this info.
To what end? Like, so that he can just, like, watch the freak in the glass, or so he can make money, or see where it goes?
On the surface, it looks like he cares because he brought him apples, right? But he brought him apples from his neighbor's tree, so he... You know, he kind of bends those lines of, you know, I do think that Chick maybe has an ulterior motive, but I think that I think if anybody can understand what's going on with Norman and be an ally to him right now, it would be Chick.
Right.
At least faint. Plus, at least pretend.
Plus, Chick has, don't forget, Chick has a vendetta against Dunkel because he beat him to a pulp in season 3 and almost killed him.
Yeah, that's
what we're going to find out what happens to old Dunkel in season 4.
Maybe it's
in episode 3.
Maybe it's a long game of revenge.
I mean, it's a long ass game. It's a long game. Like, first you kill your mother. First I watch your mother get stuffed. Then we get the animals. Then we make some money. No. So,
but that reveal to Chick at the end, since we're not going chronological.
So good.
I mean, it was just so perfect. His holy shit.
We're all saying, like,
just
what?
When I texted all, like, holy shit.
I mean, that's a lot to see. You got double. Let's go back a little bit. So we're in the bar. So good old Caleb at the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to throw a few double scotch is what he ordered. Throw a few double scotches back in peace, and in walks Chick.
Mm-hmm.
And
All the gin joints in all the world.
And by the way,
that's my favorite quote.
And by the way, when Chick said, like, I'll kill you right now, I totally believed him. I arm wrestled that guy. I believe
Chick. Kenny Johnson.
I'm sorry, Caleb said he'll kill Chick, I believed him. Because,
He's a bad, he's a big guy.
He's a badass.
Yeah.
He beat me in arm wrestling in 1 second. Allegedly. To check the tape. I don't know if that actually happened, but look. No, I believed him. And what's going on in Chick's head there? Because it felt like Chick didn't just want, he didn't call him out and goes, well, you did, you know, blah, 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 blah. You didn't, you know, leave me for dead or kick my ass or do something to me. But is Chick, he goes, oh, you don't know, do you? Is Chick trying to help Caleb? Is Chick trying to
provoke
Caleb?
No, I think that was kind of gleeful. It's like, you just found
to
out.
What end?
This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little psychological warfare.
Oh, yeah.
But then they go outside to have just a chit-chat about it. Like, there's no fist fight. They go outside and, you know, Caleb's giving Chick the whole, like, confessional. Like, I wonder about that boy. Da da da. Like, it seems like that's it just seemed awkward to me. Like, well, they're buddies
all of a
sudden.
It did a little bit, but maybe it was sort of Chick leading him back to the house so Caleb would end his, he would, Caleb would meet his demise and then Chick could be there to watch it because Chick can't do it. He's all... Right. Yep, messed up.
Chick wants
in that house, right? They want to go to the basement. The basement. He wants in that house, and
absolutely.
I think that Caleb was his way to do it. And I think that you're right. He was probably gleeful that I'm going to show you that. You guess what? Your sister's dead.
Yeah.
You know, karma's a bitch.
So he goes down there, and you know, Dunkel discovers Norma, gets clunked. I mean, in the probably the least surprising moment of the entire series. he discovers Norman and then gets clunked by Norman. We knew that was happening.
It sounded sort of insertion.
Oh,
like
was
stabby.
It like a stabby?
No,
it
sounded stabby. I thought it was a shovel in the back of the head.
I thought it was a clunk, but I don't know.
I watched it on my computer. It was really dark. I thought I heard it.
Maybe the...
Huh.
I don't know. Your mind's playing tricks on you.
Shovel or a knife? Let's hear from you folks at home. What do you guys think?
Did you see a weapon?
No.
He had a big thing in his hand. And I swear to God, I thought it was a shovel.
It was like a two-handed job.
It was or it could have been a stab.
I don't think he's dead, is the point.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be dead. This would be a perfect time. Look, he's a little rapey. Nobody's going to be sad to see him go. Chick would love to see him go.
Whoa, you jump off of Caleb bandwagon rather quick there. A minute ago, you're like, Caleb! Now you're like, hey, get rid of him. He's rapey.
He's rapey.
But think this through. What would happen if he lived? Like, he can't survive.
No.
It wouldn't help the story.
Well, of course.
It wouldn't sort of compel Dilemma to make their way back up to...
Exactly.
To find out what's happening. Because at a certain point, they'll be like, I want to, you know, I deserve to, you know...
Can't get a hold of him.
Talk to my father. And there's a change of heart coming from Dylan. I should say this for prediction. But I think there's a change of heart coming from Dylan where he's like, my mom deserves to know.
Yeah.
And my brother, this is my family. And Caleb, they're all right. I'm going to go up there and talk to my family and bring the family back together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Only to find what? I'm supposed to have a phone call with Norman. He'll be weird. And then, the rest will happen. But, like, so, which I want to go back to the initial question of Chick's holy shit. Like, what a thing to see. You've got Dunkel on the floor. You've got a dead Norma shrined up, stuffed and embalmed. And then you look and you got Norman... In full normal wig.
Full wigged.
Then out of his mouth comes, well, what does he say?
Well, I guess you know the truth, I think. Or now you know.
Now you know, Chick. I'm still alive.
You're like, that's a holy shit across the board. What does Chick do now? What, What does Chick do?
Not piss off Norman, that's for sure. Don't piss off.
Oh, hello, Norma. Good to see you.
I think he plays a lot.
Yeah. I like that idea.
But do you go, well, who's that?
I think he totally plays along. I think he will enjoy this and try to get to the bottom of it. Yeah. And then that grants him full access to that house, to Norman and to Norma. So that allows Norman to be Norma more than, more out in the open than
he has
been.
He's writing his book. I think that this would be great. And I do, like, he's kind of, do you remember he has this, like, theologian side to him? So I think that he really sees things differently. Okay. Can we talk about what he was writing at the bar before we talk about Norma at the dinner?
Yep.
I think this was really poignant because I watched the episode twice, and the second time, so here we go. Even though she wasn't there, except in his mind, she was dead. But what does that matter? How different was that from any relationship? How much do we project onto our mates? And why the hell do we need so much anyways? Is happiness just a creation of the mind?
Oh, philosophical chick.
Deep, right?
A lot of questions in there,
right?
Chick. Oh my God, write some questions.
Am I Eric?
Exactly. What was that about your mate?
And how much do we project on our mates?
Oh.
So pretty much like in any relationship, how much do you actually project on the person that you're, you know?
Right.
So
in love with, like Norman's in love with his mom.
Exactly. Well, they're two hearts in the same chord. So, and every time, you know, we always said that his triggers were stress-related. So when he was at the dinner with Not Davidson and his wife, you know, was he stress-related? And then he saw his mother. Should we go back and talk about that when he was stalking the,
Yeah, we're going to go back to that. I said I wanted to go down the chick rabbit hole because we were there.
Chick is always a rabbit hole.
Oh, my gosh. So let's go back. So before that, you know, Norman decides to pay a visit to the lovely hardware woman, Madeline Loomis. Is that her name?
Loomis, hey, your prediction was right. Or actually, my prediction, too. I think we all thought it, that David Davidson is actually Sam Loomis.
Yes, David Davidson.
Oh.
He's all across the street. And I don't know, did you... First of all, how inconspicuous can you get? Like, he's got the newspaper.
The old newspaper.
What is he, Inspector Clouseau? What is that move? The newspaper, like, eyes above. Like,
oh, you get coffee here?
Yeah. It's like, Norman? it's me. And just reading the old, what's the town called?
White Pine Bay.
White Pine Bay Times. White Pine Bay Review, whatever the paper was. I missed the headline of that paper, too. It was something.
I did, too. I tried to look. I couldn't.
I couldn't get it. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, so he's talking, checking her out, and then he comes. And then, again, in that moment, he's totally that sort of, like, weird, shaky Norman thing he does.
Where very like, awkward. And
you know.
Yet she calls him quite the flirt.
Well, she tries to set him up,
she
of course.
She likes it.
There's something going on. I mean, she likes it, and she tries to set him up. With a friend or whatever, and he, you know, Norman's kind of...
His range of emotions during that small conversation of, like, spending time, to you're a flirt, to I'd like to set you up with someone, and then he's pouty, and then she goes, I think it'll be fun for all of us, so then you get to come too, okay, I'm back in, and then your husband comes in, and I know he's cheating on you, and then he's smug, I was like,
smug,
I love this,
yeah,
it's everything.
I'll tell you what, Freddie Highmore plays smug.
When he's
like the cat that ate the effing canary, when he finds out something I knew, he has that look like, oh, hello, David Davidson. When he came back to the hotel, oh, hello, David. Whatever. David Davidson, is it? Yeah, he's
great.
Did you
like David's line when they met back at the hotel when he goes, I'll kick your ass across that gravel? His big tough talk. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I was like,
oh. You're not tough.
Yeah.
You don't even know, dude.
You don't even know, first
of all. I'm going to kick your ass all over that gravel.
That's boo. That's like soap opera, like tough guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't buying it at all.
But I think for a guy like David Davidson / what's his name? Sam Loomis. I mean, he looks like such a mousy little pipsqueak. He's only, what, 21 years old? 22? Something like that.
Is he?
He was so like.
Who's mousier and more pipsqueaky than Norman Bates?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're talking about.
He's looking at Norman, being like, dude, I really, if you F this up for me, if you get involved, I will kick your ass all over the Scrabble. I mean, it came off soap opera-y and a little cheesy, but I was like, he thinks he can.
I mean, this is a guy who not only killed a bunch of people, or in his mind, helped his mother kill a bunch of people, but who just went down to a prison to face down a guy who just tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Little does he know, you're not phasing Norman Bates.
Right?
But, With kicking him up and down the gravel.
Oh no, you're adding fuel to the fire, dude.
So
There was so many different ways that scene. That scene just seemed so awkward to me, because Sam could have gone in a million different ways. I think they're just trying to make him utterly unlikable as a character, so we're not upset when he's dead.
Yeah, I agree. But back before that, they set him up on this date, and then so the jig is up, as we know. Now, do we think now that the woman he is with is Rihanna? We think that's the case, right?
Under the umbrella. Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah, Ella.
Ella.
I think that. I think, so I want to skip to the actual dinner itself.
Oh, great.
And what about the chick? I mean, the woman.
Joanna.
Hey. Yeah, a little chatty, but you guys are out. It's a Mars Venus thing. I feel like dudes are like, yeah, you know what?
That's like this.
And women are like, this bitch.
Well, she wasn't. I think that she and Sam Loomis would make a great couple. Seemed like they were just on the same page, you know?
That was a great scene and a great, well-written
great
scene.
Great casting, too. I mean, like, I did not care for her. And I don't think I was supposed to really, like, be like, oh, come on, I'm rooting for you. Yeah. I think everyone's supposed to be like, ugh.
She was cute, but I think that she was just a little annoying. And
I didn't mind her.
No qualms. What did she talk about?
Yeah, what did she say? What's so bad? I thought she was fine.
Rachel, I haven't been on a first date in a really long time. I remember they used to be a little nervous. You would get a little chatty. They'd be a little awkward. So maybe that was it.
I love the correlation between Norman ordering a French bottle of wine and Norma learning French in the house. I love that little kind of...
Going back to Norma is learning French. Like, what?
Her learning French outfit. P.S.
Yes.
With the scarf and the lips and the cigarette.
Thinking like what Norman's projections of what his mother's doing or should be doing, you know, nowadays. Like, it's like you have to not only think about what the past of what led him up to this, because he's only known her since this whole time, but now he's now got to think about what his mother would be doing from 2016 through whatever millennia. So, now my mother would be doing this. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mother would be sitting home learning French. So I'm going to have her learn French and smoke.
And that seems like a Norma thing to do, because she gets really bored easily.
She said that.
And I love how when they had the scene where she's learning French and she was like, where were you for 6 hours? Where were you today? And that's just, you have to remember, that's just Norman feeling guilty about the fact that he was talking to somebody and projecting that own guiltiness on via his mother's visualization.
Exactly. I also wondered about, you know, how the convenience of Norma being stuck in the house, even in Norman's mind, so he can, in theory, be out in the world and meet all the women, have sex with all the women he wants out in the world, because his mom's stuck in the house. But now we now know that his own psychosis won't allow that to happen. So even when he's feeling something at the dinner and being like, this is going pretty good.
I love how her learning French is kind of rooted in reality, not only through his accent and ordering the French bottle of wine, but when Caleb shows up and you see the dark side of the house, the reality of the house, we're going through the kitchen, you see the closed laptop on the corner of the table. I was like, that's weird. Like, why would that be there? Like, it just stuck out in my mind of everything that was going on. There was that laptop, which means he is sitting there smoking cigarettes, being normal, learning French. Yeah. It's just, it is rooted in reality for him.
Great. And also the fact, instead of the fact that he's having this great dinner and he's like, mom's stuck at home, and he gets in the bathroom and he's like, duh!
There she is.
Mom!
I love that they played that scene funny, by the way, because it was amazing. And Vera Farmiga, I mean, I'm sad that Joe Flippo isn't here to talk about it, because she was great.
I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you what.
A top-notch acting.
Top-notch, top gun.
She's good at the acting.
There's an award.
She deserves all of them.
And he makes her go out the window.
But I love her weird spy outfit. Outfit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, sneaking around. Sandiego. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Her Carmen Sandiego gear.
And before, the scene, so I like that they showed as well, when they were in the car, she threw away that line that the fact that Miss Loomis looks like her.
Oh, yes.
But how she's like, I'm going out. And the way that they played the scene when she was at the bar, when they flipped back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really, like, that scene could have been really confusing and really kind of convoluted, and we could have lost. I think it was just nicely done.
Yeah, extremely well done.
But it was played so well by both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there was no difference between their delivery at all. I mean, this is just a testament. I know that's what it's supposed to be, but it's just a testament to both their acting to converge in the middle and have this one, two different people be one character and it be seamless.
And if we have, you know, if we're lucky enough to have Carrie on again or anyone on the out, I'm interested to know. I'm sure they probably shot one full scene with Freddie Highmore as Norma doing the entire scene and then shot one full scene as Norma doing the entire scene and then in post just kind of edited it together.
And then just flipped it back and forth.
Which is cool. But I did like the reveal of I'm going out, and then Freddie Highmore sits down, or Norman sits down, and the mirror is Norma.
Yeah.
Like he sees himself
that
as Norma.
That pan around.
I think that we have a lot of those to come to be able to sort of, you know, get a picture of when Norman is Norma, because we can't always tell unless he's in the full outfit, unless he's in the apron or the wig.
Yeah, and it's kind of a challenge to understand, like, how you're going to communicate that and how you're going to do it, you know, in a classy and elegant way. And it's got to be really fun for the actors.
Right.
Because this isn't something that all actors do. This is a, you know, this is a really unique situation that they're in.
What I'm also curious about is, when does he cross over? Is this the first time we've seen him in the wig?
I think so.
Just why I put wig.
Yeah. We've seen the whole, he's going full 1960 psycho here with the wig and the dress and the whole
thing. We knew it was going to happen eventually.
It had to happen eventually. But like, so yes, yeah, so we will get to see that scene in the shower when he's actually in the.
So that actually was my question, because I, are they actually going to, I know that they're saying that they're taking inspiration, but are they actually going to do almost like in the middle of the season, do like a mini Psycho movie?
I think that season 5 is Psycho.
Okay.
I mean, I think the entire season is Psycho. We know this from our experience doing Hannibal, that we had some run-in with sort of where Hannibal started as a prequel to Red Dragon and then led all the way up to Red Dragon was the first book in that series. And then Hannibal started as a prequel to Red Dragon, and then the series caught up to Red Dragon, and then we had a whole full season of actually Red Dragon, you know. And then it kind of skipped over our, you know, Silence of the Lambs and weird things and had rights to that book. It. But then it kind of came back into the whole plot of Hannibal, the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So both Hannibal Red Dragon were both
in the series
of Hannibal, which is great. So I feel like that they're taking a cue from that and going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And whereas the first four seasons are more of a prequel to Psycho, and what we're in right now is we're in Psycho.
Yeah.
Like we're in the kid, you know.
Well, I would just like to know what happens if they do, like, what happens after? Like, after Psycho. Like, I would love to see them get into a few episodes after that. Like, after Norman gets put in this mental ward. Like, what happens then? That would be great to see. Or are they just going to end it with the end of it being
If we're going full canon, what actually happens is, obviously, at the end of Psycho, he gets committed. He gets found out. He's in there when the Harma fly. That horrible, scary scene in the end. But then 20 years later in the 80s, they did Psycho 2.
Yes.
And where he is out, and he's out, and he goes back to open a hotel, and, you know, bad things start to happen.
They also did a TV show for a little bit. I don't think it made it that far in the 80s as well.
Yeah, based on a TV show, it's more of like a Twilight Zone thing, I thought. Like,
yeah, that last monologue in Psycho, the actual final monologue that's told from the point of view of Norma in Norman's head.
In Psycho.
Yeah, was kind of like Norma throwing Norman under the bus. She's like, I couldn't let them think that I did it. So he was it was interesting. It was interesting. I'll talk more about that next.
Thinking about that ahead, it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
To this day, it was 1960. I think about that ending monologue in Psycho and like just thinking the way Anthony Perkins is sort of staring there and him hitting it with the fly and the weird voice.
Yep.
The weird Norman, excuse me, the Norma Bates back then who was like a creepy old lady.
Yep.
It's scary.
We caught a little glimpse of that iconic shot last season in season 4 when he was with Gay Edwards.
It was
season 4 when he was in the Gay Edwards and he was trying to get into the office. Then they locked him up because he wanted to go see Gay Edwards, and they just did like through the peephole into him. It was just kind of a glimpse of that, you know, iconic shot.
Well, let's get into some predictions. We got to get out of here, but let's jump into some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I want to know what you think will happen next, Julia.
Okay. So two things sort of like stood out to me in this episode. Norma questioning whether Norman liked her anymore.
Yes,
that stood out to me a lot. And we also know that she has starved for company and starved for attention. Mm-hmm. Now that she has been revealed to a real person, being Chick, I think that every time Chick is around, he's going to find a way to get Norma to him. And they're going to spend a lot of time together, which is going to make Norman very jealous.
Huh. Oh, I like this.
Also, to that point, I also thought it was interesting that Norman kept bringing up Romero, like his jealousy.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, exactly. You know, and he's frustrated with her. He's annoyed with her. He can't really look at her in the eye when he says, "Yes, I like you still."
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I think he's kind of annoyed. Like he's reaching his limit with her. Mm-hmm. She's reaching her limit of isolation. Now there's Chick, and it's going to not work out well for him.
And I just can't, brain. Exactly. I can't overstate that he's having a conversation with himself.
I definitely think that Chick is going to have more of a presence this season. And I think that Romero's going to get out. I think that there's going to be something having to do with his safety. He's going to get transferred, and he's going to get out. And then, you know, I'm hoping, is it next episode that we're going to get to see Rayana? Do we know?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
What's her name?
Rayana.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know. I'm saving my good predictions for next week, man.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. But my thing is, it's just, I'm counting the people who have to go at this point. So many people have to go. So Caleb... gotta go.
Yep.
Chick's gonna have to go.
Yep.
The boyfriend, husband, he's gotta go. Mm-hmm. She's probably gotta go too. We know Rihanna's gonna go. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know,
I think Romero's gonna go too.
Romero may or may not have to go. Dilemma? Like, a lot of people might have to go. We'll see anyway. We'll see who makes it out or not. That's it for us. Thank you for joining us for Base Motel.
We're
thrilled to be here for season 5. We will check in with you guys next week for more on season 3. Julia, where can the kids find you?
Twitter, Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. And then also here for The Blacklist and The Blacklist Redemption.
The Dua.
Hi, Dua Casey, DuaKaiSSI on the Twitters, and you can find all of the stories and all the links for the Carrie Aaron interviews. I posted them on the Twitters.
Oh, look at that. That's efficient. I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell, and here doing the Blacklist, Redemption, and Blacklist, and that's it.
How many shows does Blacklist have?
Two.
Blacklist, Base Motel.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week with more Joe Sanfilippo. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.